we are defined. Our choices. Sometimes, yes. The words of William Shakespeare ring true for us today. In Act 1, Scene 2 of the play Julius Caesar, Cassius says to Brutus, "Men at some times are masters of their fates." "The fault, dear Brutus," says Cassius, "is not in our stars, but in ourselves." He says we are responsible for who we become. Our choices impact our futures. They share our character. They shape it of a way others perceive us. What we do, what we choose, and what others perceive of us has a lot in common. Our choices have a role in defining who we are. Our earliest social affliction began to label us. The roles become in school peer defined when we are growing up. Some of us in growing up are jocks, others are prom queens, others are geeks or nerds, and just some of us hang around and don't know what we are. Throughout life, though, we tend to associate with people of similar interest. And our identity is shaped by those relationships. Whom we choose as our life partners also defines us. It's interesting how if we have known both partners in a relationship, we tend to think of them as one, even before marriage. Our choice of spouse or significant other influences later choices, such as our residence, our career, and our lifestyle. A 1995 movie called Before Sunrise features a conversation between two young people who meet while traveling through Europe on a train. Celine is a French college student and Jesse, a touring American. The train pulls into Vienna where Jesse is to board a plane back to America. But Jesse convinces Celine to leave the train with him that day and spend the next few hours before his plane departs walking the streets of Vienna so that they can get to know each other just a little bit better. "If I don't ask you this," he says, "it'll haunt me the rest of my life." He proposes that Celine, too, might look back upon her life at a missed opportunity. He is suggesting that this decision in Vienna will have a significant impact on their futures. In our scripture, throughout time, stories of moral choices with significant consequences, such as the relationship between King David and Bathsheba. David's inappropriate sexual behavior with Bathsheba and his role in the death of her husband Uriah help shape the future and result in consequences for his own children. You see, our choices always carry consequences, reflect who we are, and lay groundwork for who we are to become. We will see in our lifetime, and we have seen it, we have witnessed it as history now, how swimmer Michael Phelps is treated during the 2012 Olympics and beyond following his public use of marijuana. Phelps' story, tragic at some level like King David's, reflects the character that is required to shape a positive identity. Americans have witnessed a host of public figures affected by questionable choices throughout our history. Sexual relations with an intern taint the image of a former president, Bill Clinton. The allegations of steroid use have significantly affected the images of baseball players like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, and Alex Rodriguez. And it may keep them out of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Our own world this week, we have watched and we have witnessed as Governor Cuomo has signed an abortion bill into law in the state of New York to allow full-term abortions. What were his parameters? Did he make a good decision? I personally think not. Why did he come to such a decision? This week, people stood and cheered at that decision, while others stood and cried with broken hearts at that decision. You see, our character is transparent in our actions. Our persona is defined by whether we behave selfishly or in the interest of others. Involvement in the community, service organizations, and church paints a picture of who we are. Our moral compass is reflected by our decisions to serve others or to serve our own self-interest. Our choice of career also defines us. We are judged by the effort that we are willing to expend to achieve in school and as an adult. What are we willing to do? How much are we willing to try to get success? The public perception of a career's importance is beyond our control, but the passion with which we pursue our careers and perform will certainly define us. There are some things over which you and I have no control, such as our genetic line. I always like that one because I laugh at my cousins. I said, you know, we are who we are. And we can't help who's in our genetic line. And we look at them sometime and I wonder, who are these people? And sometimes I look at them and say, you know, I really do love some of these people. I don't always like them. But sometimes, who are these people? However, our choices also impact who we are, affect our image, and shape our character and public persona out there, who people think that we are. You see, Jesus does everything that he can to avoid personal labels. He attempts to radically change his defining culture. You see, the chief priests seek to protect that culture and rid themselves of Jesus. They want him gone. He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this place. Jesus is in constant conflict with the Pharisees and the scribes because he brings a different worldview. He looks at things a little differently. He teaches that we are not limited by our heritage or by our choices. And thank goodness that we're not. We are not limited by our family, our lineage, where we come from, or by the choices that we make. Our bad decisions are forgiven, and we become new beings by God's grace. God's grace is an amazing thing. It's there for us. We have to repent of our sins. We have to want a change. We have to be there, and God is there. The message of Jesus is counterculture. It's out there. You have heard that it was said, Jesus says in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Have you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Follow me, he says. Follow me in Matthew's Gospel 8:22. He says, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. You see, Jesus offers a radically different life. One not tied to the past, but defined by a new life offered through God's grace. Jesus would not allow himself to be defined by cultural categories. Jesus heals those that considered to be defiled, such as lepers and a woman with the flow of blood. He raises the dead. He and his disciples break Sabbath laws all the time to meet human need. Jesus relates to women and children. He eats with tax collectors, and his own disciples would fail as they say, the smell test. They also fail the eye test. They can't see the forest for the trees. They are looking in the wrong direction. You see, they fail for high character in their culture. They can't see it quite yet. You see, Jesus is blind to cultural definitions, and his inclusive ministry levels the playing field. You see, Pilate understands Jesus only within this cultural framework right here. And when he asks him in Luke 23:3, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus says, "You say so." Pilate fails to understand who this Jesus is. The Jewish leaders fail to understand him as well. And for most of the gospel story, throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even his own disciples fail to understand who Jesus really is. We are defined biologically, socially, and by our choices. But Jesus refuses such parameters and attempts to change the cultural understandings that define people. Who Jesus is can be found in his relationship with God. As his disciples, you and I too are defined by faith and not by the world. You and I are defined by faith and not by the world. Thank goodness for God's grace. This day, God promises that our past is not the way we shall be defined. We are defined by the grace of God. We are defined by forgiveness. Let us pray.